The monthly Medicinal Herbs series is back for the first episode of 2021. Today, naturopathic clinician Angela Highwood returns as our guest to talk about ashwagandha, an ancient herb used in Ayurvedic medicine as a general tonic for natural healing, with known clinical benefits including stress relief, fertility support for men, nervous system restoration, and more.
I am so excited to be back with Angela Highwood today to having this discussion about ashwagandha. We see ashwagandha kind of all over, but it's this amazing herb that we're going to kind of drill into. And I think our lives are very stressed. So let's talk about an herb that can really help us through that. So first, Angela, how did ashwagandha kind of start? What is the origins of it and the history of ashwagandha?
So ashwagandha is a very, very ancient herb. It's one of the foundational herbs of the Ayurvedic Indian medicine system, which, believe it or not, Ayurvedic medicine actually outdates Chinese medicine. So ashwagandha arguably has been used for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years medicinally. And it is one of the very revered foundational herbs of the Ayurvedic medicine system, which is a medicine system that I absolutely love so much. I'm not formally trained in Ayurveda nor Chinese medicine, but I use a lot of Chinese and Ayurvedic herbs in my clinical practice and always love to research, you know, the traditional knowledge about the herb and then see how that dovetails so beautifully into some of the modern clinical trials on these herbs, and especially ashwagandha, which has been incredibly trialed. So in the Ayurvedic medicine system, or in Sanskrit, the traditional language of Ayurvedic medicine, ashwagandha means the smell of horses, or it means to give you the strength of a stallion and the stamina of a stallion. So I think that in itself says so much about the vitality and the power of this incredible herb. It's also given the nickname the Queen of Ayurveda, and that comes from its popular use as a remedy that's just literally in every Indian household. It's such a special plant in the Indian medicine system and in Indian culture. It's a beautiful herb.
What a fascinating history, this long kind of throughout the centuries, and then it really also having this breadth of science behind it too, I think is so exciting when those two things come together and we see our historical aspects and marrying, and the knowledge that, you know, that our ancestors had is just amazing sometimes. As we think about sleep and stress, how and when should we take ashwagandha at night to help us to make sure that we stay asleep and wake up refreshed?
Absolutely. So ashwagandha is like a beautiful sort of double benefit herb. It's classically sort of categorized in our modern methodologies of of botanical medicine as an adrenal adaptogen, which means it helps our adrenals adapt to modern stress and helps our body adapt to the circumstances of the day. So if you're really highly stressed and your cortisol's pumping and you're in fight and flight mode, ashwagandha just brings that down and grounds you again. And it's very well reputed and clinically researched as a core herb to reduce excess cortisol. At the same time, ashwagandha is a herb that we know from traditional medicine system in Ayurveda as a nervous system nourishment herb. So it feeds, nourishes, and calms and restores the nervous system. And it's highly regarded in Ayurvedic medicine for doing that. So it's almost like the most perfect plant that we have that is for those people who feel wired but tired. So I think we can all relate to that when we just can feel our nervous system buzzing on cortisol from stress, but underneath that we are absolutely exhausted. So that's kind of the perfect template or the perfect personality for the use of Withania somnifera or ashwagandha. Now, I've heard a lot over the years. I've been using this plant in my practice for 25 years. You know, some people say, oh, I can't take ashwagandha at night because it will stimulate me and it'll keep me awake and it gives me crazy dreams. Now, whilst I agree that, you know, every herb isn't for everybody, I say to patients, actually, ashwagandha is one of the safest adrenal adaptogenic herbs that you can take at nighttime because it calms the nervous system. So I never see in my clinical practice the use of ashwagandha stimulate funky dreams or keep people awake. It's the perfect herb for that patient who's exhausted, stressed, high cortisol, anxious, has insomnia. But the herb should be taken during the day and even, you know, a dose given at nighttime with some of our beautiful relaxant herbs like valerian, passion flower, Ziziphus or chamomile to assist in sleep. So there is a good amount of traditional knowledge and research for ashwagandha being excellent as a restorative tonic to the nervous system to reduce cortisol, there hence have a flow-on effect of improving sleep quality. Now, it's one of these herbs as an adaptogen to the adrenals and a tonic to the nervous system. It's not going to work on the first night you take it. It's going to have this beautiful cumulative effect. So you're going to see the best results with ashwagandha after at least 4 to 6 weeks of consistent use every day.
So, you know, in the world as it is, there's also children who are kind of having this wired and tired issue, right? And so how would you recommend it with children, and what is the safety of it regarding children?
Absolutely. Our poor little kids and, you know, teenagers need as much help as they can get in this modern, you know, modern crazy world that we live in. And Withania is my go-to adrenal adaptogen for pediatric use. In Ayurvedic medicine, it's always traditionally been used as a tonic for children, believe it or not. And the traditional Ayurvedic medicine system would give children about 2 grams of this raw herb a day, actually in some milk, as a tonic. They would traditionally say this is for kids who have failure to thrive, who are stressed, who have lack of appetite, who are not thriving in this world. And I think that it's a sad circumstance that unfortunately in my practice I do see these kids that are living on cortisol, they're stressed, they're exhausted, they're not thriving in this world with the freedoms that children should be afforded due to stress being that thief of childhood joy, so to speak. So ashwagandha is a beautifully applicable herb for them. It will calm the cortisol, but also in the traditional application of the herb, just given, you know, in modern applications as a tablet or a tincture, we can expect that children will sleep better, their appetites will improve, it promotes tonification of their little nervous systems whilst backing up and protecting their adrenals. Now, we know that any of our adrenal adaptogen plants, but particularly ashwagandha, has a huge positive impact and benefit on immunological strength and function. So this herb covers kids for giving them a bit more immunological protection from that adaptogenic capacity as well. And one of the other things that I teach parents about when I'm talking about why I'm recommending ashwagandha for their children is because it's also a beautiful herb to boost up all your white blood cells, so they hence strengthen the immune system, but also it really nourishes the production of red blood cells, which then helps kids carry iron and B12 more efficiently, helps them become more oxygenated. So it's a blood tonic, a blood nourisher at the same time. And so many kids, by the time they get to sort of age sort of 6 or 7, hit anemia. So ashwagandha, along with some nice gentle iron in the diet, is a really wonderful way to help prevent anemia in kids and manage anemia in children as well. So honestly, it's just such a valuable plant for our little people to keep them being little well-beings.
I think, as you stated, kids have the stress, and to know that there's herbal support that's safe for them. Could you talk a little bit more maybe about dosing for children and what that would look like?
Absolutely. So look, kids need a very small dose. They don't need big doses, which is great if you wanted to use an extract of the herb in a liquid form. Often if you're dealing with a child from, say, the age of 6 months, when they start solids, is when you can start introducing botanicals. It would be as, 5 drops a day, like such a subtle little dose for them in the liquid extract form. When we're getting up to between sort of 2 and 4, that would go up to about, 10 to 20 drops a day. Again, very easy to be able to give to a child, because you can pop it in some milk for the child. That's the traditional way the Ayurvedic doctors would be giving it. You wouldn't even taste it in a bottle of milk for a child, putting that little bit of ashwagandha in as a nourishing tonic. Then when we're getting up to kids of the age of, the sort of 5 to 10, then you can give them around about 2 to 4 milliliters per day. Now, adults, you can use a high potency tablet, and the tablet dose would be sort of 2 to 3 tablets per day.
And with teenagers, could you utilize a tablet form as, depends on their age?
Absolutely. So with teenagers, we look at body weight based dosages. And really, once you've got, we all see ourselves. You see a 16-year-old boy these days and they're enormous. They've usually outgrown their own father. So as soon as you see a child's body weight be equivalent to an adult, you would dose them the same as you would an adult. And ashwagandha is safe, gentle, and perfectly applicable for our teenagers, who also generally hit anemia due to really big growth spurts that they're going through. Goodness only knows the amount of pressure teenagers are under from a stress point of view with schooling and social media and trying to find their feet, in this day and age and in this world as well. So ashwagandha is an incredible tonic for our teens.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have a 17-year-old who is starting to think about college and those things, and the level of stress, right, that is put on them is pretty intense. So, as we think about other conditions for both adults and pediatrics, specifically thyroid, how would we utilize ashwagandha for thyroid health? How does it work? How does it support the thyroid function to help maximize its functionality?
Oh, it's such an interesting herb for the thyroid. So once again, this application has come about from more modern scientific research and understanding of the plant. So withania is its botanical name, or ashwagandha, its common name, is known as a tonic to the thyroid gland itself. So we will always use it for underactive thyroid or hypothyroid or even Hashimoto's. Any autoimmune disease, you need to back the adrenals up with a lot of adaptogenic support. But the main actions with ashwagandha for thyroid, consider it a thyroid tonic, so nourishes the functional tissue of the thyroid glands. Now, research also shows that this incredible plant improves your conversion of the inactive thyroid hormone T4 over to the active thyroid hormone T3. So that's a huge benefit that it imparts, giving us, more robust conversion of T4 to T3. And that's evidence-based. That's research that's shown us that. And then the better quality T3 that we produce, then the more cellular, metabolic, mitochondrial function and optimization we have. And I see so many patients that are diagnosed with hypothyroidism are put on to thyroxine, that synthetic T4 drug, and then are sent away. And on paper, everything looks perfectly fine because they never test T3. And I see that so many people are not converting their own T4 hormone or the synthetic T4 hormone over to T3 efficiently, and therefore are still exhibiting all of the symptoms of underactive thyroid, yet on paper, it looks perfectly fine. So I will always make sure that I get T3 hormone done and reverse T3 hormone tested to really help the conversion, and ashwagandha is a huge part of that profile. Now, just a little bit of conversation about, you know, what can inhibit T4 to T3 conversion. Well, believe it or not, stress is one of the major factors that can reduce, or cortisol can reduce that conversion of T4 to T3 and flip the T3 over to reverse T3. So this is, I feel, a big part of the picture of how ashwagandha really supports thyroid function by its incredible capacity to reduce elevated cortisol, therefore allowing this beautiful conversion of T4 to T3 to happen optimally by decreasing the impacts of stress on the body as well, whilst also the ashwagandha being a true tonic to the thyroid gland itself. So every single hypothyroid patient in my practice gets prescribed ashwagandha. It's a really critical part of optimizing thyroid hormones and optimizing, you know, energy and sleep quality and mental health quality with underactive thyroid conditions.
You know, I think that's so fascinating, and we see such a concern with thyroid conditions coming up more and more in so many of our patients, right? And so we really need to have good support for them that they can take for long term.
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing about ashwagandha is it's so incredibly safe for long term use. It is a true adaptogen and a true tonic. So you get the best out of it when you take it in the longer term.
Mm-hmm. When we're first talking about the history of ashwagandha and its Sanskrit roots, and as I recall, you called it the smell of the horse, right? So that strength. And so it puts forth vitality too. So could you talk a little bit more about men's health and the role of ashwagandha in vitality?
Absolutely. As I said, in the Sanskrit Ayurvedic system, really ashwagandha is to Ayurvedic medicine what Korean ginseng is to Chinese medicine. And Korean ginseng is, you know, called the herb of kings, to give, you know, vitality, stamina, improve men's fertility, you know, deal with impotence, you know, and ensure, you know, continued plentiful reproduction from the male species. So ashwagandha is that to the Ayurvedic system as well. There is incredible clinical studies and great levels of evidence with ashwagandha to improve sperm parameters. So it's an excellent male reproductive tonic. I do about 60% of my clinical practice is infertility. So I see the disastrous state of affair of sperm in this modern world as well. So I do a lot of work in improving sperm quality with men, and ashwagandha is my major herb that all of those men will be put on to improve their male fertility. It's also absolutely brilliant for sex hormone regulation in men. So it boosts their testosterone, it boosts their DHEA. And these clinical studies are all around a dose of 5 grams per day, or equivalent of 33.8 milligrams of withanolides, which is the major active constituent researched from the herb ashwagandha. So it's incredibly valuable for men's health. If men are feeling fatigued, if they're having trouble building muscle mass, if they are trying to have a baby and male fertility has been identified as an issue, if they just want to play their part and really make sure their sperm health is great, their androgenic strength is great, then ashwagandha is one of the major go-to herbs that I would recommend that they take for at least 3 to 4 months before they start to try and conceive or during their fertility journey. It's so incredibly valuable. Now, it's not just for the young guys when they're trying to have their children. If we think about, you know, a much forgotten phenomenon in men's health, and that is andropause, male menopause. Now, it's not talked about, goodness forbid, it's rarely ever tested, but men's testosterone changes in their midlife, similarly to women's hormones changing midlife as well. And this is when men start getting, you know, achy, they start getting grumpy, that typical grumpy old men syndrome, a bit of the pot belly starting to develop, you know, feeling less strong in their body, so their muscle mass starting to deteriorate. These are all signs of andropause. Typically, it kicks in with men in their 50s to 60s. So if men want to be proactive and, you know, optimize their androgens and really have a healthy aging experience and keep their androgenic strength optimal, then withania or ashwagandha is one of the most magnificent herbs that can be used in that circumstance. Often I will combine that with Korean ginseng in these circumstances to help men have a healthy aging experience. So any of you guys listening today, you know, if you're younger and you're still in your baby making years, ashwagandha's for you. Likewise, if you're finished your baby making years and you're feeling a bit tired and grumpy and, you know, you're over 50, then ashwagandha's for you as well to help you have a really healthy aging experience and keep your androgens as strong as a stallion, as ashwagandha will be.
So how do you reconcile sometimes, you know, like men think stress is, you know, it's like, right? And vitality is the same. So how do you talk to your patients about, hey, this can help you with your vitality, but it's also going to help you become more relaxed? Do you know, sometimes I think men specifically, and maybe women somewhat, you know, they don't feel like vitality and stress reduction are in the same vein.
I agree with you. So this is where I love to do a bit of clinical testing. So one of the tests that I rely on a lot is called the Dutch hormone test, which was developed in the United States, and we now have it available here in Australia. So that hormone test is like what I call the executive test of how all of your hormones and stress pathways and reproductive hormones are going. And what I will often see is that you can see low DHEA, you know, high cortisol, low androgens, estrogen metabolism out of balance. And that's actually hard and fast evidence that, hey, guess what, people? Your vitality's low because it's been by stress. Right. So that I think is a really great test to do, and it's dried urinary hormone analytes, so we actually see what hormones are metabolized and left. And when we've got a hard and fast result on the table and we can actually see what's going on in the body, I think it's really good evidence and really drives understanding and drives compliance with therapeutic treatment protocols, you know, with herbs and nutrients as well. So that's one way I tackle that. But the other way that I tackle that is to just basically educate. I educate about, you know, symptoms, what they mean. And one thing that I guarantee every patient is that even if you're feeling really, really stressed, if I can improve your sleep quality and we can get you sleeping, you know, better and longer and deeper, then that will give us best bang for our buck in improving your vitality, improving your immune system, and improving your quality of life. So to improve sleep health, I use ashwagandha during the day, and then I integrate some of our beautiful sleep herbs at nighttime. And I ensure that we check sleep hygiene as well. So, you know, no technology for at least an hour before bed. Make sure there's exercise in every day. No alcohol, no caffeine after midday. you know, a nice hot shower before bed, support melatonin production. And if we can even get, I mean, imagine this, it's such a simple concept. If we can get 50% deeper sleep quality, and if we can get a whole extra hour of sleep per night, and that only means you go to bed 1 hour earlier than you usually do, you are actually banking a whole extra night's sleep every week. Doesn't that sound just wonderful?
That does sound wonderful, right?
By some really simple strategies. Mm-hmm. And that's how we promote vitality. That's how we promote immunological health. And ashwagandha, again, from a clinical trials, proven to improve sleep health in those with insomnia at a dose of 30 milligrams a day of the withanolides, the active constituents. That's hard and fast clinical evidence.
So you mentioned the withanolides here and then earlier too. And, you know, there's so many options out on the market for ashwagandha. And sometimes it gets confusing, right? So how do we determine what is the best, and why is having that labeled amount important to understand, you know, what is a quality product?
Absolutely. So in the United States, herbal medicine or botanicals fall under the FDA food regulation. Mm-hmm. So manufacturers can put grass clippings in capsules, call them what they want, and put them on a shelf and sell them. You know, there's no testing really required. In Australia, it's an extremely different circumstance. In Australia, botanical medicines and nutritional supplementations are regulated under pharmaceutical manufacturing quality and pharmaceutical testing. So in Australia, ashwagandha is considered like a pharmaceutical drug. So when companies manufacture that, and they're Australian companies, they have to have some clinical trial information or traditional evidence for use of that herb. They manufacture it. It's got to be quality tested. The level of active constituents need to match levels of clinical studies to demonstrate evidence. So this is why, when we talk botanicals and we talk from the Australian model, we will always be talking like clinical studies, mm-hmm. Levels of active constituents, phytoequivalents, meaning you need to take this much of the herb to match this clinical trial to guarantee this result and outcome. So I'm very, very proud to be an Australian practitioner. And an Australian naturopath with, 25 years of experience with botanical medicine. Mm-hmm. And I'm incredibly proud of our quality standards of manufacture that come out of Australia as well. You know, I certainly would not have the thriving clinical practice that I have without herbs that actually work.
Right.
That's the end of the story, right? We're actually only as good as the medicines that we have to prescribe artfully. They've got to work for patients to get outcomes, for then patients to get well and then refer their friends and family. So, as I said, Australian standards are a bit different to America. They're drug regulation standards versus food regulation standards. And this is why I think of, you know, all the countries in the world, like Australian quality of manufacture is probably world-class and world-leading.
So what are kind of your final takeaways that you want to leave people with in regards to ashwagandha and how it can fit in their clinical practice?
Okay, so some really takeaway key points. Ashwagandha is a general tonic to the body, a tonic to the nervous system, and an absolutely exquisite adaptogen to the adrenals, particularly for those people who feel wired but tired. It's an incredible vitality tonic. It's incredible for promotion of mental health. It calms the brain, improves memory, and helps us feel grounded and strong. It improves our resistance to both stress and also disease. So it has really beautiful immunological enhancement by virtue of its adaptogenic effects. It's a beautiful blood builder, so it nourishes our blood, it improves our red blood cells, our white blood cells, and makes our immune system more intelligent. It nourishes and supports the reproductive systems of both men and women. We didn't really talk about women, but women can't conceive if they're stressed. Cortisol is one of the biggest roadblocks to having a baby. So by adding ashwagandha into a support plan for women and reducing stress, the reproductive system can function so beautifully. And for men, we've talked about the clinical research around improving sperm parameters. Just a side note on the girls, it's also been research to improve ovulation and ovulation frequency. So it's wonderful for broad spectrum female reproductive support. It's perfectly appropriate for children and has traditionally been used as a children's tonic in Ayurvedic medicine. It's perfectly appropriate for teens. It's perfectly appropriate for adults. And it's perfectly appropriate for the very elderly as a convalescence tonic. It's been clinically trialled to reduce anxiety and insomnia and does promote good quality, deep, restful sleep. So is there anyone who couldn't benefit from ashwagandha? No, I don't think so. Ashwagandha is one of the safest, most broad spectrum herbs we can use in the modern day for stress and exhaustion.
I think we may all need to add a little ashwagandha to our protocols, especially with the level of stress many of us are having these days. So I really thank you, Angela, for your time today and for your clinical insights and clinical pearls. These were very helpful for our listeners. So thanks again for being on.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk botanical medicine.
Thank you to Angela for returning to the show to talk about ashwagandha, such a fantastic medicinal herb. If this is your first time tuning into the series, take some time to listen to our other episodes from 2020 to hear about turmeric, cat's claw, bitter herbs, and much more. Go to holisticmatters.com to learn more about medicinal herbs. That's holistic with a W.